morning, everybody.
Morning.
Yeah, so we're here to learn God's word and fellowship, and appreciate you guys being here. I'm going to start us off in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great morning, nice day, sunny day, that we can be together and let your word guide us and let the Holy Spirit help us learn and take this with us out in the world. We're grateful to everyone that's here. Grateful for our health and families and friends. We want to pray for people that are a little more unfortunate, sick, and we just want to be with everyone's, pray that everyone's ailments and whatever they got, that everyone gets better. And we want to just get into the Word and let you just be our teacher, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. So I was in Colossians. I've been in Colossians, and I was I just wanted to start. We're in Colossians, but I want to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and kind of pave the way of what we're talking about. This is just something I saw today, this morning, and just kind of keep it in mind on what we're going to be talking about. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Yeah, we're in Colossians, and we're going through the warnings that Paul has told the church, and what he's warning them about false teachers. And so we're going to be getting in that third warning and kind of expound on the ones that we've passed, and then we're going to finish probably Colossians and chapter 2. And then, so that's our agenda for today. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life.
Amen.
So that right there is just what Paul's saying, is that the law is no more, and that Christ is our sufficiency. We're not supposed to be sufficient in ourselves, that Christ is, you know, and that's new language from the Old Testament there. And that's different from, and that's Pauline language, and we're going to see a lot of that today. The Pauline language that we're not under law, we're under grace, and we're not under them ordinances. And that when, you know, that it's the Spirit that guides us, you know, and we're going to get into that today. So in Colossians, chapter 2, verse 18. And so just to kind of recap, in verse 8, you had let no man spoil you, which is let no man rob you. In verse 16, you have let no man judge you. And here in verse 18, let no man beguile you. So that beguile word is a strong word. So let's see what the Word of God has to say. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So there's a lot there. And that beguile, obviously, is to deceive and to trick. So Paul is saying, don't let no man beguile you of what we have in Christ today. And that reward there, that's another word for prize. So that reward, don't let no man beguile you of this reward. And what is this reward? Well, this reward is all the fullness of God being made complete in Christ. That we're complete. We don't have to add, subtract. There's none to the ordinances that, you know, that we have to do. That we're already complete. This is what we have. And to kind of expound on, let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Just a few pages to your left. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation, which is citizenship, is in heaven, for whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So we have our reward is we have a heavenly spot. We have a position in heaven. And we're complete in Christ. We're going to get our bodies, our vile bodies will be changed. We're going to be at us of Christ. So when you change everything, you're changing from what Christ has done. And they're saying, oh no, this is not, we're complete and we don't need to be changing anything. And false teachers were cleverly subtle and probably used the worshiping of angels to elevate their position of high religious prestige to be more effective. That happens today. So, if you don't think people worship angels, there's a lot of things going on that they worship angels. They worship God, they worship angels, they worship deities, and it's happening today. And you have that fleshly mind there, and that it's like the New Age movement. They have no power of the Holy Spirit. A New Age movement, it's pseudo intellectuals and there's no truth in it. And you've seen, and in verse 9 and 10 in Colossians chapter 2, it says that we're complete in Christ. So there's no adding, there's no subtracting, we're complete. So, and this condemns voluntary humility. God does not ask for this humility. That humility there, in the voluntary humility, that is something that God, a lot of, I just talked to somebody the other day, and they're like, well, I pray in humility, and I keep the prayers. And I'm like, well, praying is good, but like if you make that like a worship type thing, then you're just adding, laws to yourself, and you're adding things that is not, he was saying something, I'm like, no, that's like I shared the gospel with him, but he agreed with the gospel. But then he wanted to say, yeah, I got humility. And, and to me, that's something that it's not real. It's not like coming from. So when it's, so if it's time to pray about something that's serious, sometimes you might not want to pray because you have a set time that's, everything is like, it's just legalistic. And it's hard to me explain right now, but the Galatians were doing this. They wanted to put themselves under law. And Paul said, who hath bewitched you? Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Who hath bewitched you? And then you see in Galatians chapter 1, what did Paul say? If there's another gospel, if any angel tells you, then it's not true. There's religions today that they say that they got fallen, that an angel taught them and gave them a revelation. And the Lord says no. He says no, that's not, if anybody says, if you don't get it from Paul's epistles, then it's another gospel and it ain't the truth. So, beware of that. Paul's has telling you to beware of these things, and he calls it not truth. It's not the truth. And the Colossians were falling in the same thing. False teachers can be kind of sneaky. They got good words. They can entice you. They probably handsome, whatever is going on, they know how to use their words, use themselves to just whatever that's contrary to God's word. And verse 8 of Colossians in chapter 2 is kind of like a parallel of verse 18. That's the first warning that Paul gave them, which is, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. So that vain deceit and that philosophy is is similar to puffed up and fleshly mind. You know, that puffed up is like philosophy, and that fleshly mind is that vain deceit, because we're the flesh. We have to walk through the spirit and not after the flesh. So we have to beware on them things. So they start worshiping angels. Men worship saints and angels today. You know, they get revelations by them. But we worship only God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We worship one God. We don't worship many deities. Even the devil has been doing this even when Christ came on earth. Remember what he told the devil in the wilderness? He wanted him to bow down to him and worship him. So the devil, and obviously the devil is the prince of the power of the air. He's the chief archangel. Even Michael couldn't contend with him. You know, Michael had to not bring an accusation to him, but he told him, you know, and the Lord rebuke you. And also, when the Lord Jesus Christ was being tempted of him, when he told him to bow down to an angel, God busted out scripture on him. You know, he went to Deuteronomy and told him, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And that's true with us today. Everyone in this world, we're to worship only God, and him only shall we serve. Not angels, not Mother Mary, not anybody else. It's supposed to be God himself. And believe it or not, a lot of people do it. There's a lot of religions that pray to different, whatever they are. They're demons, you know, but in the end. But they do it, so. So that's verse 18. So let's go to let's do verse 19 now. Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. And not holding the head, from which all the body of by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. So the Colossians were starting to do what they think or thought instead of what God says. And, you know, human reasoning instead of divine revelation. Trying to be the head instead of the body and letting Christ be the head. So as we know, Christ is the head of the body. And the body of Christ, which is the true church, which is us. It's, you know, and that's what that verse is saying there. Holding the head. From which all of the body and joints, which is us, joints and bands, having nourishment and ministered. That's Christ, nourishing and ministering. And knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. So, don't be beguiled by something that will turn you from the headship of Christ. Don't be deceived that anything that's got to do with anything else but Christ being the head for today, that's what Paul is saying. Don't let that deception and that beguilement get over, you know. And Christ is the head and ruler. He's the head of every ruler and authority. He's the head of every man. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3 says that man is the head of the woman. Christ is the head of man, and God is the head of Christ. And that's a verse that proves that Christ is our head. You know, that he's the head of us, and there's a lot in just in that little verse, but you see that God is above Christ. But you can see that there's probably more than likely God the Father, that's who he's talking about, but you can see that there's two different Christ, God the Father, that Christ is that the God is three. You know, that's for the people that don't want to believe that God is three in one, you know, that make up the entity God. But the answer to false teaching is to hold that Christ is head over the body, which is the church. So we've seen that, and nothing can separate us from that head. You know, in Romans chapter 8, I know it's like verse 31 through 39, you see that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And we can't be separated from the head. Just like a head and a body, we're connected. We can't be separated. So, yep. And that from which, and not holding the head, from which. So Jesus Christ is the source from which all the body is growing and being nourished with the growth of God. So Christ provides our spiritual nutrition for the body. Our increases, so you see that, and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Our increases is from an all-knowing, all-powerful God. It's not from a finite man. It's not from, you know, man is polluted and it doesn't come from man. Our increase comes from God. It doesn't come from anybody else. And the increase is part of God's purpose. And you know what? We can just go to Romans chapter 8. Kind of see this real quick. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among every brethren. So we know that all things work together for the good of, you know, for those that love Him and follow His ways and follow what's going on today. Another one is about, so this body that we, you know, the body of Christ. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 12. And we know that just kind of scripture is proof. So anything that you see, you know, it's all for edification, it's all for our knowledge, but it's also evidence. You know, this is evidence. So if anybody wants to see, okay, where are you getting this from? All scripture is evidence. It's tangible proof that everything that we're saying is true, that God's word is true. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. So you see that we have a spiritual baptism. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is one member, but many. See, there's many of us that make up this whole body of Christ. And this is totally different than the kingdom and Israel and everything they had going on. This is totally different language. This is nowhere in the Bible does it talk about the body except for Paul's epistles. And he expounds on this greatly throughout his epistles. So if you were even someone who never read the Bible and you're like, oh, well, this part talks about so many different things than this part, you know, the Old Testament. So your only conclusion is that God is doing something different. And it's something glorious. We have grace, you know, we have love, we have peace. We don't have to, you know, like what we saw in our first verse, that, you know, the letter and that it was death, but we have life and walking through the Spirit. They had so many things going on back then, following the law, they couldn't follow it. And, you know, if they followed the law to the T and you did one thing wrong, if you committed adultery, that was death. You were supposed to die if you just did that, you know. And the Lord has grace under, you know, today He's not going to, you know, you're not supposed to die if you do that, but He wants you to be better. Because once you know that you're saved and you're secure, then you're going to want to serve the Lord. You're going to want to serve Him and want to be doing things for him and not doing them things, you know, committing adultery and sinning, even the guy, he was picking up sticks on the Sabbath, and they killed him, you know, it's like, so it's severe, and we're not under that severity, we're under love, we're under grace, so thank God for that. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 2. All right, so we know that let no man beguile you of your reward in the voluntary humility and worship of angels. Verse 19 is saying that Christ is the head, and that he nourishes and ministers the body, and that it's from his, you know, in which we increase it. So verse 20, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world are ye subject to ordinances? So that rudiments is elements, basic principles of this world. And we are dead in Christ. So we're identified, Romans chapter 6 talks about where we have a spiritual identification. You know, we're identified through his death, burial, and resurrection. So now that we are identified with all this and we're complete in Christ, so why are we, he's saying, from the root, we're dead in Christ from the rudiments of this world. So why are you living in this world to be subject to ordinances? So why do we have to do these laws and do all these things and all these rules if we're dead with Christ? And we're identified with him, and we have all these great things with him. And he's making that argument like, hey, don't go back. Stay with what's the truth. And the rudiments belong to this world. And, you know, don't be subject to the pseudo-religious rules and decrees this world has to offer, because we are complete in Christ. The church still makes a lot of ordinances. Sometimes they make their own, you know, all the churches in this world. So, you know, some kind of have an idea of grace, but they still want to make rules, you know. And they got an idea of that we're not works-based, but they still like the religious energy that whatever comes out of that, you know. And they still love religion. Men love religion. They love being, you know, part of a, I don't know, a, you know, part of that system. And the Lord says, no, you're free. You're set free, you know. The truth shall set you free. And that's what I liked about, Jim Tyler. He said he had a whole list of Bible quotes, you know, that people use today. And that's a Bible quote, you know, the truth shall set you free. Where do you think they get a lot of this stuff? It's from God's Word. But them ordinances, where are they now? They're nailed to the cross. Christ nailed them to the cross. And we all know this, but this is where, that's where you see, you go back into verse 14. He nailed all that to the cross. That's, Christ was the end of the law. And that's just what Paul is saying here. And the Galatians desire to be under the law, and the same people today, they make their own laws. And yeah, we don't, that's something that we're, you know, in verse 21, what does it say? Touch not, taste not, handle that. That's legalism. You know, don't do this, don't do that. You can't do this, what are you doing? You know, and Paul calls that,
where are we, what's our citizenship?
In heaven.
Not on this world, is it?
That's right.
Where are we seated?
In the heavenlies.
So it's not in church, really.
Right, so, and that touch not, taste not, you know, that's, those are rules. You know, they just want to put rules on you. Tell you, you can't do that. What are you doing? You're not holy enough, or you're not this, you're not that. That's, I mean, it's in plain, it's right here in God's Word. This is, you know, if you want to pick one part of the Bible over the other and not take the whole Bible in consideration, then you're going to be confused about what God has to say for today and for us. And that's why we rightly divide. And everyone should rightly divide, because God rightly divides. And God, and we're supposed to do what God wants us to do for today. Because there's been different ages, different dispensations, different administrations on how God has operated in this world with men. And we should go by what's today, and that's through Paul's epistles. Anybody listening over the video, I'd encourage you to check the scriptures, Romans through Philemon's, and see that it's all different from the Old Testament. And here we see, you know, Colossians has a lot in here. If you see in chapter 1 that he is the creator. And there's a lot of people that don't want to take that. They don't want to hear that. But he is the creator. And that creator came down for you and me. And died on the cross for you and me. You know? Like, it wasn't you and me. We're just regular people. You know? And the creator of the whole universe had a plan for you and me to sit, like how Ray was saying, in the heavenlies and to reign with him. Be fellow heirs. I'll take that above anything. You know what I mean? Anything. You know, people say, oh, you're going to be a tiger, or, you know, when you die. And, you know, it's like, no, I'm good off that. I would rather be on this, you know, because this gives you hope. This gives you freedom. This sets you free when you believe this and you apply the, you know, love in your life. That's really what it comes down to. You know, the Lord always was saying that. Love thy neighbor. You know, even, you know, what is grace? Unmerited favor. So love people who don't even deserve it. What else does he say? Love thy enemy. I mean, do we really want to love our enemy? Sometimes we don't like them, you know, but the Lord tells you to love them. And to, you know, and somehow, some way, not of us, but of Christ, to just be the best that we can be. You know, it's hard, and sometimes it can be difficult, but the Lord's there with us, and we can write, we can put His word on it. So that touch not, taste not, and handle not, that's not what's going on for today. So you could see in our evidence here that this is what's going on. So in verse 22, let's go to verse 22, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. So there goes that doctrines of men again. So if you see that most of the religions, what do they have? They have the big ones. They usually got a guy on top telling everybody what to do, you know. You know, and we know the religions that, you know, there's plenty of them, and they usually have a guy on top, and they're saying, "Hey, this is what I decree is the truth." But most of the time, it's not. Almost all the time, it has nothing to do with the truth. It's either control, it's Satan behind it. It's not the truth. So these are the commandments of men, where they got the masses following them, and they're just following them toward a path of destruction. It ain't the truth. And God usually has dealt with a remnant, you know, because man, the heart of man can be desperately wicked, can do wicked things, and constantly thinking evil things. So I hear some people, I even heard it the other day, that somebody was saying that they don't sin, or, and I'm like, okay. I mean, we all sin, you know? We're all sinners. That's why the only one that didn't sin was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he dealt with all those things that we had to deal with. Sorrow, pain, sadness. You know, he was tempted. I mean, literally, an angel who he created, obviously he knew, but this angel, so Satan himself came to him and said, "Hey, man, I'll give you all of this. All you got to do is bow down." I mean, think of all the lusts of this world that, you know, people want. Or, you know, people want a new house. They want a $1 million car. Or, you know what I mean? And Satan's like, "Yeah, I'll give you all of it. All you got to do is bow down to me." And the Lord Jesus Christ had that temptation, the same kind that we go through. So, you know, now we can't say he never went through these things like us. You know, he's God, but he did. So, and he triumphed over them. And that's what we can rest assured on. So, yeah, I'm grateful for that. So, like I said, I'll choose reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ and living forever, change the body over anything. Amen. So, And I hope you guys would too, because that's, and I know you guys would, because, and like I said, the law is no longer our message. The law, no longer God's message for today. It's the message of grace. It's the message of peace. It's the message of long suffering. It's the message that I'm, that Christ is the end of the law, and now you have peace. Now, the first thing is you get saved, and now you just live for me. Just do the best that you can, you know. Read my word. Be nice to others, you know, and spread my word. You know, he doesn't tell you not to be, you know, not to work, not to make money, not to live your life. He just tells you that it's, that I'm important, and the most important thing in your life, and then live your life, and you'll see that your life is going to be great. And I'm definitely one thing. Go ahead.
Talk about touch, not taste, not handle, not, which are the perish of the using. John chapter 6, verses 26 and 26 through 28.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Jesus said, "You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. But don't labor for the meat which perishes," those things that once you use it, they're gone, "but for the meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you." Then they said, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent."
Amen.
Amen.
And who did Paul send to the Gentiles?
Amen. Amen.
Oh, who did Paul send to the Gentiles?
The Lord Jesus Christ sent to
them. Oh, Paul. Yep.
So believe on Him whom God hath sent.
Yeah. Yep. So believe on Him, because Paul has sent. It's not that we make a... It's not that we put Paul on a pedestal. It's that God has chose Paul. Just like He chose the 12 at the time of the 12. Just like He came in a lot. That's the one thing that people say. They're like, I follow Jesus. And I'm like, yeah, you. Well, we all follow Jesus. But you're following Jesus in His earthly ministry. He's not on earth no more. He's in heaven. So now... And if you just see, all you got to do is read the first nine chapters of Acts, and you see that He tried to offer it again through Peter, and they didn't want nothing to do with it. And then they stoned Stephen, and then that quiet God said, "That's it." I mean, it's as simple as that. God says, "That's it." And then He chose and bought another person and said, "Yeah." And then what? And we're going through it today. All the, even what Pastor Kurt is going through right now in Acts, that you see that he starts pushing away Israel and starts showing that, hey, the Gentiles are now in effect now. It's not you guys no more. Now we're bringing up this guy, Paul. It's that simple. We're not putting Paul, hey, we're not worshiping Paul. We're not telling him. It's that, okay, this is what God chose for today. It's that simple. I mean, I know it's can be... You know, difficult, because even Peter said that it was, you know, the scripture, he couldn't understand it because they were so steeped in the law and so steeped in what they knew what it was. And they're like, okay. I mean, he had that dream where he was eating unclean things, and it was like, God is changing what's happening, you know. And even in Galatians, I think it's Galatians chapter 2, where Peter had acknowledged his apostleship. And Paul was like, yeah, I'm the guy now. So that's, you know, and it is. It's the truth. That's what it is. Paul is not boasting about himself. It's that he's doing what God told him to do.
Who's the guy today?
Well, Lord Jesus Christ is always on the one we worship. But Paul is the one that is our pattern for today.
Well, amen. When I said, you said Paul is our guy, so I'm sort of like simplifying.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the guy today? Every believer is the guy today.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I know what you mean.
I mean, Paul is our pattern, but we're supposed to.
We seem to forget what our job is as believers.
Yeah.
We are the guys today, believers.
Yeah, and we should be, like we're saying, be about the Word of God and to promote it, as Paul did.
Yeah.
And be ambassadors for Christ. Because why? What does an ambassador do? They represent their home, and our home is in heaven. So we're ambassadors in Christ, and we represent, and like you were saying, that we're supposed to be doing that. And that's exactly what it is. We're supposed to be promoting the grace of God and be ambassadors in Christ. And that Paul is our pattern. And it's not Peter who's not our pattern. It's Paul.
Amen.
Did you have anything to add?
Yeah. You're right in what you're saying. But what I'm saying, we seem to forget. You know, we just seem to forget. You know, we are supposed to be promoting Christ. We don't care who brought it on the scene.
Right, right.
We have to promote Christ.
Right.
Every believer is supposed to do that. Paul is dead and gone.
Right.
You follow what I'm saying?
I understand.
But the word lives on, and the live word right. lives through us if we promote it.
Right. So I like I was saying, that's what a lot of people say. Well, I follow Christ. Well, we follow Christ too. But he, like we said, Christ has his heavenly position now. And that Christ chose a guy named Paul. And that if we were to say, where do I find it in the Bible? We're going to say, well, it's in Paul's epistles. You know, and that's what it is. And we know that. And that's what, if you want to know the truth about for our marching orders, you go to Paul's epistles. Yep. And so let's kind of go to verse. All right, well, we've seen that we don't want to go after the commandments of men and doctrines of men because there's a lot of lies. And we'll finish. Well, let's go to verse 23, Colossians chapter 23. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom. Okay, so now this humility, this, you know, these ordinances, these commandments of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility. So in will worship and humility. And neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So this one was kind of a tough. So that humility is a false humility. We know that. Go ahead.
And will worship, that's the first time I ever saw it. It's a position of them placing themselves in an ability to know what God wants.
I think so, yeah. Because like I was saying, that, you know, they want to keep the prayers and do it at certain times of day. They're kind of putting their own self-will above, you know, like, look at what I'm doing. You know, that's what I'm getting out of that. That's like, you know, there's no glory to God on that. They're saying, look what I've done in my accomplishments. But we know that our accomplishments are God's work through us. You know, that's the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit works through us. And that's where our accomplishments come. It's not of ourselves. It's not self. You know, and that's, you know, people, I think it's called asceticism, severe self-discipline and avoidance of all forms of indulgence, typically for religious reasons. So it's a lot of, look at how much I'm holding back, you know, and look at how great I'm holding back and not sinning, and, you know, and it's kind of self-energy, self-reliant. It's like, and that's what's happening today, and that's what I think this verse is saying. It's look at myself, look at me, and it kind of, and it, the appearance of it is wisdom, but it's not. And that's what Paul is saying. That you doing all that, it appears to be wisdom, it appears to be good and great and nice, but you really, you're just glorifying yourself on the and deep down inside. And, you know, for people that, when we've seen the full assurance of understanding, I don't know if you guys remember, but we talked about three full assurances. The three and the full assurance of understanding is the kind of the third step to where you're into God's word so much and you know the truth that you can kind of see, call them people out. You know what I mean? You can be like, hey, I already know what you're doing, you know? Some people are not part of that. They haven't grown. So they kind of get beguiled in them things. And that now, when you have the full assurance of understanding, like most of us do, that we could kind of point that out and be like, hey, that's not, you know. And then, what is it? We go and we share the scriptures, and we're the people now promoting the Lord and trying to promote the truth. So, Let me see. Yeah, they have an appearance of wisdom. It's just self-imposed, you know. That's really what it is. So how do we overcome the flesh? Because that verse at the end, it says, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So they're trying to overcome the flesh with their with themselves. But, you know, how do we overcome the flesh? Having an appreciation of what Christ has done for us and what we are in Him. Christ took an undeserving sinner and gave, you know, us a position in Christ in the heavenlies. He didn't have to do it for us, but He did. And, you know, that the Holy Spirit has victory over lusts and desires over the flesh. And we know that in Galatians chapter 5, that we walk through the Spirit and not of the flesh. And that it's Christ's work. And it's, and I can understand, it's probably, you know, it's like wraps around your head and it's confusing, but it's, to me it can be too. But you walk after, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And we've seen in that first verse that we started in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, or 1 Corinthians, there's one of them, but 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I think, that it's not of the letter, you know, it's of the Spirit. And that we walk after the Spirit, and that it's not of our sufficiency, it's of Christ. It has nothing to do with us. We just be grateful and be the best that we can be. You're never going to stop sinning, but that's where grace comes in, because God knows this. Don't you think He knows? You know what I mean? He's like, well, you're the Gentiles. You guys were the heathen of back then, you know, so let me figure some, you know, that He already had it figured out, you know, the determining counsel of Christ. They already knew what they were going to do, and He had the Gentiles in mind all along, which is you and me. He had us all in mind all along for this. Even though Israel is God's chosen people, look at what they went through. And then look at what we go through. You know, and then we're even blessed above to be in this country, you know, in America. Just to be, grow, to wake up here in America. Some people don't have it as easy in the world. But just to be in here and to be able to even talk about these without having to look our back and be like, oh, are the cops hearing? Or, because there's people out there that got to deal with that. You know what I mean? They got to deal with, shut the door, shut the, because they will go to jail. You know, they, some people have to deal with that. And if, and God's word is true to, so true that when the future comes, it's going to get worse, you know, and that's the, that we're not going to be around for that, but, you know, the tribulation and all that, but that's what I say, we're grateful, I'm grateful to wake up in this country and to be able to pray and be free the way God intended it to be, and that it will be one day where we're all together and we'll all be able to serve the Lord and, you know, the fullness of times, and it'll be glorious, but for now, we gotta let God's word stand. So we know that the Holy Spirit has victory over the lust and desires of the flesh. Just gonna kind of read these. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of sound mind. Well, we were just—we didn't give us that spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. And sound mind is a, those are three strong words, but that sound mind, that's what we have. We're sound. We have the soundness. We're not carried to and fro of every wind of doctrine. You know, we know what's the truth and we can stand firm in it and have that full assurance. Because we don't have the spirit of bondage. We don't have that spirit of bondage like the law had. And God sees us as full-grown adults in His eyes. And false teachers, they can touch people by appealing to man's desire to be wise and intelligent. So that's another thing too. You got these smart guys that they appear, you know, they all sound smart. They all sound like it's all, you know, these words and they know how to talk. But there's not a lick of truth in what comes out of their mouth. It just sounds great. Oh yeah, this guy's so smart. And that's what a lot of people do. That guy, you know, he's great. They point out an individual instead of, you know, letting, because it has nothing to do with me. With me up here, it's all the Lord. Glory goes to the Lord. Has that, and that's how I feel it should be. You know, it's got nothing to do with the person. All the glory goes to the Lord. I'm just a vessel. I think people get confused and they like to put the person above, you know, and make him some great person when he's just a representative and ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just to recap, don't let anybody rob you, spoil you. Don't let anybody judge you of the Sabbaths. If because you're not doing Sabbaths or doing that, people are going to judge you. They're going to be like, hey, well, you're not doing that, you know. And don't, you know, rob you with that vain philosophy and vain deceit. And don't let nobody beguile you. See, this is robbing, judging, and deceiving. Apostle Paul says all these things, when you get back into the law, when you follow the commandments of men, and when you follow all those things is a robbery, a judging, and not a righteous judging, and it's a beguilement, a deceiving. Paul says to beware of those three things. And that's what he's telling Colossians, and it works just as good for today. So instead, we thank God that these requirements were blotted out by the cross, and that we have the gospel of the grace of God through Paul. And that we should be thankful for that and worrying about that and trying to get people saved instead of, why are you not on the Sabbath? Are you holy enough? The Lord says we're holy enough. He sees us righteous in His eyes, and that you don't have to do these things. And in fact, He tells you to beware to do these things. So, did anybody have anything to add or say? Go ahead.
21, Lori mentioned will worship. You said that was the first time you see it. I have a note in my Bible that is the first mention of it, if that's helpful to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah, if anybody got anything to add or say, or...
As ambassadors, we are to promote the Lord Jesus Christ, but it is imperative that it be done according to the revelation of the mystery.
According to the revelation of the mystery.
An ambassador is going to be promoting the Lord Jesus Christ, not according to the revelation of the mystery, and you're being a bad ambassador doing that. So there is a difference and a distinction between...
Right, that's right. Yeah, because there's the mystery and there's the prophecy. And we're not under prophecy, we're under the mystery. This time for today has been a secret and only revealed through Paul and his epistles. And
just one thing that always, it's a little comforting to know that we actually don't save anybody. God saves them. We introduce them to the world.
Yeah,
God does the rest.
That's right, yeah. So... Yeah, if I said you save them, then it's wrong. It's God saving them. yeah. It's the Lord saving them, and we're just trying to offer the scriptures to open for the Lord to open their eyes, because that's what our calling. That's what we're supposed to do. I mean, and I'll just close in this. If you know that you've been saved, you have all these great things coming to you, like we saw in Philippians, that our bodies are going to change and that we have a citizenship in heaven. I mean, maybe we should try and serve the Lord, you know? I would imagine, you know, you're like, I got all these good things, so now I should serve the Lord. And I think that's how the Lord wants us to be grateful for what we have. You know, even to be grateful for our salvation, our establishment in Christ, and even where we live today. Like I said, in America, we're blessed. I'm grateful for that. So thank you, and I'll close us in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity I'm grateful just to be up here and to be able to speak and to let the Holy Spirit kind of guide me and I don't want it to be none of myself, and hopefully somebody got something out of it today, and you know that we are ambassadors, and at the same time we should go home and search the scriptures, find out if them things are so, share them with friends, share them with random people, share them as much as we can, because we do have that heavenly seat, and we're grateful that we have this church and that we can fellowship, and we're grateful for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.